It is great to see you this morning. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at Azalea City. As David mentioned earlier and Justin mentioned earlier, we are thankful to those who are visiting with us. We're thankful to those who have tuned in on our live stream as well. Do appreciate all those who have had an active part in our worship this morning. Appreciate the talents and gifts that everyone has to be able to do that. John 3:16 may be the most famous Bible verse in the world, if I could say it that way. The reason it is because of the message it gives. You see, when people quote John 3:16, not everyone, I'm sure, that quotes John 3:16 is actually experiencing the gifts that God has given. But the reason they know John 3:16 when they don't know any other verse is because of the hope that verse gives. You see, when Jesus came to this world, as He was born in a manger, a place literally where animals would eat food, He was wrapped in swaddling cloth. And as those shepherds came in to reveal and see what they had been told by the angel in the fields, that Emmanuel had come, God with us, they opened up that swaddling cloth, and you know what they saw? They saw hope. And so this month, we've talked about hope. We've talked about Jesus. We've talked about the gifts. We've talked about for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. To narrow down what Christ has given to us in about a 3 to 4 week span is impossible. In fact, John wrote that if we had all the things that Jesus did, the world itself couldn't contain the volume of book that it would be. So for me to be able to tell you just what we know through Matthew, through John, through the entire Bible, what we know of Jesus and what He gave to us in these weeks, it's impossible. So what I've tried to do is look at who the giver is. Again, I told you that we appreciate the gift that much more when we know and truly know the giver. And so we looked at Genesis all the way through the Old Testament into the New Testament of who Jesus is and what He's referred to and how He was prophesied about. And then, of course, last week we talked about His birth and we talked about all the lessons that we can learn in that. Well, this week I want to talk about something that Jesus gives us, and that's strength. You see, in Romans 5, verse 8, that Gabriel just read to us, it says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That's the way it reads in the New King James. But we also know that earlier in that passage, in verse 6, see, Romans 5, verse 8 is a verse that ought to be a John 3:16 verse to us. We know that Christ died for us, and He's a gift from God. But what is God is love? What is love? He demonstrated it by giving Jesus while we were still sinners. But if you back up 2 verses to verse 6. It reads, "Therefore, when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." You see, that's the point of Romans 5:8. That's the point of Romans 5:6. That's the point of John 3:16, is we did not have hope. We did not have strength. We were full of sin. And so what did God do? He gave Christ. What did Christ do? He gave His life. so that we could have strength. Now in Romans 5, verse 6, the phrase without strength is the Greek word asthenes. What does asthenes mean? It means when we were still weak, Christ gave us strength. When we were still infirm, Christ gave us strength. When we were still feeble, Christ gave us strength. When we were unable to do anything great, Christ gave us strength. When we were destitute of power among mankind, Christ gave us strength. When we were inferior, Christ gave us strength. When we were sluggish in doing right, Christ gave us strength. When we were lacking in manliness, Christ gave us strength. And as Romans 5, 8 says, when we were yet still sinners, Christ gave us strength. You see, without Christ, we are nothing. There are strong people physically in this world that do not have Christ. There are strong people mentally in this world that do not have Christ. There are strong people emotionally in this world that do not have Christ. But I suggest to you that all three of them, emotionally, physically, and mentally, are still weak because they do not have Christ. Today, we're going to take a dive into what it means for Christ to give us His life. When we were without strength, when we were still sinners, why did Christ do this? He did this so that we can be strong. So the question has to be then, where do we find this strength? Where do we find the strength that God has given us through His Son? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we find it, as Cody mentioned earlier, in this phrase, in Him. Strength is found in Christ. Being in Christ is one of Paul's favorite phrases that describes a Christian believer. It's all over Ephesians. It's all over the other prison epistles. It's all over Paul's writing. In Christ, in Him, in Christ Jesus. In fact, the phrase in Christ or in Him or in Christ Jesus, the almost identical expressions there, they are used over 170 times in the New Testament. So what does it really mean to be in Him? What does it mean to be in Christ? In what way or ways are we in Christ? Well, in order to really appreciate that, and remember, this is where we find the strength that Christ has given us in Him, the gift of His life. In order to truly appreciate what it means, you need to think about some other ends. They may help remind ourselves where our strength lies. Today, where are you finding your strength? Where am I finding my strength? You see, in can describe our welfare. We may be in love. We may be in pain. We may be in good health. We may be in dire straits. In can be used to describe our welfare. In can be about our geographical location. We may be in Alabama or in Mobile or in Sims or in Wilmer, etc. In can relate that we belong to or are positioned with an institution or an organization. In fact, we may be in school. We are in church. We may be in a hospital. We may be in prison, etc. In can tell what occupation we belong to. We may be in the army. We may be, in my case, in the ministry. We may be in teaching. We may be in banking, etc. In, or more precisely, into, can tell our passions and what our passions and hobbies are. We may be into hunting. We may be into crafts. We may be into computers. We may be into music, etc. So what do all those ends have in common? They tell us a bit about who we are. They give us information about our state of being and about ourselves. So the question has to be, does being in Christ comprehensively describe our state of being? Does being in Christ, make it personal, define who you are? Is Jesus Christ in your heart? Is Jesus Christ in your mind? Is Jesus Christ in your all? If the answer to that is yes, then we know we are in Him. And because we are in Him, we have strength. But if the question to that is, or the answer to that is no, He's only partially in my heart, He's only partially in my soul, He's only partially in my mind, then I suggest to you that you are without strength and are not in Him. And that needs a change. Galatians 4:19, "Oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again," Paul said. "And they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives." Let me suggest this. We will never arrive. There will never be a time on this earth that we say, "Hey, I've arrived. I know everything there is about God. I know everything there is about the Bible. I'm doing everything perfectly." We will never reach that point on earth. So there should always be that feeling of, He's still being developed. He's still working on me. My strength is still growing. If we feel spiritually weak today, it is not Jesus Christ's fault. If you feel spiritually weak today, it is not because Jesus Christ didn't do everything in His power to give you strength. It's because you stepped out on Him. Somewhere along the way, we stepped out on our Lord. We stepped out on our Father. Whether that means we stepped out of our Bible study for the year, we stepped out of our prayer life, we stepped out of our worship regularly, we stepped out of going to Bible class and learning as much as we can, whatever it may be, that spiritual weakness, whether it's Satan has attacked you with pain, with hurt, with everything, and instead of blaming who we're supposed to blame, we blame God, we blame Jesus. You see, that strength that you're missing can only be found through Jesus Christ. So, what did Jesus do for us? He gave us strength. Where do we find this gift of strength? In Him. So the next question that needs to come out is this one. What does it mean to be in Him? Well, I'm going to give you several things backed up by Scripture right here in a row. Number one, in Christ Jesus, we were given grace before the world was created. Think about that. 2 Timothy 2:9, He gave us grace in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Me? Me. You. I mean, we cannot fathom that, right? But
But if I'm found in Christ Jesus, you know what He did for me? God gave us grace before this world was ever formed. Now listen, I don't know the full extent of grace, but I know it's amazing. I know that without grace, I cannot be saved. Without faith, I cannot be saved. What is grace? The definition is unmerited favor. In other words, you didn't do anything to deserve this. You didn't earn any merit to deserve this. God just found favor with you. I also know that I can't just rely on grace. Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. But to me, knowing that if I am in Him, I have found grace that was given to me before the world was created, it just really blows my mind. But that's not all. In Christ Jesus, we were chosen by God before creation. Ephesians 1:4, God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Wow. You see, these are things to me, this is my 25th year coming up in May to be a minister at Azalea City Church of Christ. I was 21 years old when I started. And so I've been doing this a little while now. But 25 years of ministry, and even the years that I studied before that, became a Christian at 16, grew up in the church, that still blows my mind right there. In Christ Jesus, we were chosen by God before creation. Who doesn't want to fit in? And listen, I know there are the people that say, oh, I don't want to fit in. Well, guess what? They fit in with the crowd that doesn't want to fit in. Okay? Everybody desires to fit in. Everybody desires to be picked. Nobody wants to go in recess or PE or whatever we call it. We don't want to say, hey, nobody picked me. Yay! That's not our mindset. Well, if it's a strength contest, some might be picked before others. If it's a speed contest, some might be picked before others. We get the point, right? But here's the thing. God chose all of you, number one. Your first pick. And He did it before creation. Another point that we see in Christ Jesus. Sorry, that one was small. I had to get it all on the page. In Christ Jesus, we are loved by God with an inseparable love. Romans 8, 38 and 39, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, the kids, I mean, it's that moment, that mic drop moment, right? They come out, they say something on the mic, they drop, boom, everybody goes crazy or whatever. It's just that moving of a moment. Folks, this is a mic drop kind of moment. When I tell us, and I point that out through Scripture, that the strength of Jesus is found in Him. That gift that He gives us is found in Him. Well, what does it mean to be in Him? If you are in Him today, not only do you gain strength, but you can't be separated from the love of God. That moves me. That touches me. Again, no matter how many years I've done this, how many times I've read that verse or those verses, that whole chapter really is so powerful. But the key is it's only found in Christ Jesus. But that's not all. What does it mean to be in Him? In Christ Jesus, we are justified before God, and the righteousness of God in Christ
is assigned to us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, God made Christ to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. You realize how this worked, right? I don't mean to insult anyone's Bible knowledge, but God had this plan long before we were here. He gave us this grace long before we were here. He gave us this plan of redemption long before creation was even here. But when creation was here and He looked at all 6 days, what did He say? It is good. It is good. The only thing that He saw that wasn't good, that man was alone. So what did He do? He formed Eve and He joined them together and He married them. What a scene, right? You want to talk about the perfect marriage scene? The Garden of Eden? God performed that first wedding ceremony and He brought them together and they lived together in paradise and everything was good. But God knew. And so Adam, Eve first, then Adam, they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then things were not good. Things were cursed. Sin then entered the world. So you know what that meant? It meant that God's plan, long before the creation of the world, to send Jesus into this world, came into motion. And from there, it was just time. Time to build a nation. Time to bring forth the Messiah. And there were thousands of years that took place. But again, God's outside of time, so it's nothing to Him. But we can read back through Scripture and we can see it all unfold. But at the end of the day, here's the problem that Adam and Eve brought into this world. Separation from God. Weakness. Sin without strength. God is so holy. He is so holy that He cannot be in the presence of sin. It's just impossible. That's how holy and pure He is. But you know, He still loved us so much that He was willing to make His Son, who knew no sin, become sin so that we can be righteousness for God, of God. What does it mean to be in Him? In Christ Jesus, we're redeemed and forgiven for all our sins. Ephesians 1 verse 7, in Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. I spent a couple weeks earlier this year talking about forgiveness, talking about sin being gone. And remember, it's as far as the east is from the west, and they're never going to touch, folks. They're going in opposite directions, okay? He remembers them no more. Again, people can wrong you. You can forgive them, but you're going to remember it. God does not remember them. And so the question is, why would I not get in Him? You see, in Him is where the strength is. In Christ Jesus. We have become a new creation and a child of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Then Galatians 3:26. In Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. You know what all that means? Jesus Christ gives. What did Jesus Christ give? He gave us strength. He gave us strength. And you know what strength cancels? It cancels worry. Matthew 6, verse 31 and following. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. There's a lot of worry, even in Christians' lives. Man, I had some great conversations with a couple brothers this morning. I won't say their names. I won't even talk about the details that we talked about. But they just said in different times of their life, they saw God. Even in the low times of their life, they saw God because He always provided. You see, and if we see that as a young enough Christian, the older we get, the stronger we get, right? But here's what happens is if our strength, if we're not in Him, we're not as strong as we need to be. And so what does it do? Let's just say I'm a fringe Christian, or I'm somebody that's on the outside and I'm struggling. My faith is not where it needs to be. My walk is not where it needs to be. And I don't have this full strength. You know what that creates? It creates worry because Satan is tempting us to doubt and to worry. In Christ Jesus, there's no worry. What are we worried about? Well, Terry, I'm worried about paying the bills. Food, clothing, and shelter, what more do we need? He promised us that. Now, He didn't promise us 10,000 square foot mansions and Armani suits and filet mignon every night. But He promised us food, clothing, and shelter. That's in what we just read. He said, these are yours if you seek Him first. There's no reason to worry. Well, I'm worried about my health. Jesus also said, who can add one, we'll say it in English terms, or the term, not English terms, but the terms we understand, who can add one inch to their height by worrying over it? Can you make your heart get better by worrying over it? Can you make your blood pressure go down by worrying over it? No, strength is in Jesus. Listen, I'm not saying we have this perfected today. It's a growth process. But that strength is there. What else does strength cancel out? It cancels out failure. In John chapter 18, Peter was a failure. He's a failure. You know why? The same one who said, I'll never deny you. I'll die with you before I deny you. The same one that swung his sword at Malchus's head but missed him because Malchus ducked it and cut his ear off. That same Peter is the same one that said, I don't know the man. I don't know the man. I don't know the man. And if you just read John 18 and you just read those accounts of Peter, then we end there and he's just as guilty as Judas. And he's a failure. But John 21 happens. In John 21, remember, Jesus has sent for his disciples and Peter. And Peter, what's he doing? He's out fishing because that's what he knew what to do. That's what he knew to do. He's going back to his old way. Maybe he's just trying to get rid of the doubt and the worry and the guilt and everything that's going on in his mind. He says, I'll just go fishing. And there comes Jesus. Peter jumps in and swims to him. And they have that breakfast together and they go on that walk and Jesus asks him, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And he told him, Peter, after Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, I want you to feed my sheep. In John 18, Peter was without Jesus. He was a failure. But in John 21, he found Jesus again. And so he took those keys that Jesus gave him in Matthew 16, those figurative keys. And on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, he unlocked the door to the church of our Lord. Is he a failure? No.
Because the strength he found in Jesus canceled out him being a failure. Strength cancels out guilt. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17 now. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Jesus is judge. Jesus is king. Jesus is Lord. All those things are true. But when you put all those things together, it sounds like that strikes fear because I break Jesus' heart. I break God's heart. And because he's judge and because he's king and because he's Lord, I feel guilty because I'm afraid. I'm afraid to stand before him. I'm afraid of the day of judgment. I'm nervous because of the things I've done. Let me say something to you and reemphasize the words of Jesus to Nicodemus in John 3. He didn't come into this world to condemn you. He came to save you. Let go of the guilt. Today, if you are in him, you should have no guilt. Because you have no sin. You see, strength in Jesus cancel sin. Oh, wait, Terry, we're all sinners. I know. I know. I'm a sinner. I've been baptized in this water behind this wall that I talk about all the time. And I came up out of that water sinless. And I, even though I've tried to walk in the light as he is in the light, I've walked in darkness and I've sinned. I get that. But because I'm in him, his blood continuously cleanses my sin. Peter, same Peter, right? He wrote this in 1 Peter 3, beginning in verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers have been made subject to him. I don't know how much plainer we can make it. Things have to make sense to me. Folks, doesn't it make sense? We have, like sheep, all gone astray. We're all, at one time, lost. We've wandered far away from home, from the truth, from the church, from the Word, from all the above, from God.
But the good shepherd came. And he did it, as Peter said, to bring us to God. I can't do it by myself. I can't even do it with all your help if we're outside of Him. Jesus has given us a lot of things. But through it all, He's given us strength. When those shepherds opened up that gift, they pulled back that wrapping, they looked inside that manger, there was strength. Without Jesus, we are hopeless. We are helpless. We are lost. Inside of Jesus, we have all those opposites and a whole lot more. Why today would you leave here outside of Jesus Christ? Why today would you leave here without experiencing that strength? Why would you not plug into the power if you haven't? Or if you have need to come home? The opportunity is right now. Please do it as together we stand and sing.